Have you ever had a dream that felt so real? Of course you have, we all dream. But what if your dreams aren't just stories? What if they hold the secret key to your healing, insight, and personal power? I'm Teresa Chung, and in my weekly UK Health Radio show, I'll help you unlock the true meaning and healing power of your dreams, whether your eyes are wide shut or wide open. Each episode explores a common dream theme, features a special guest expert, and then opens the Zoom to you, our dreamers, to ask questions and share your dream stories with us live. Because your dreams matter. And in your dreams, you're always the star. So join me each week. And just like a dream, expect only the unexpected. I dipped into the future, far as human eye could see, saw the vision of the world and all the wonder that would be. Welcome, dreamers. This is the healing power of your dreams, your weekly invitation to explore the incredible, intuitive, and often precognitive wisdom of your dreaming mind here on UK Health Radio. Tennyson's timeless words open today's show because they speak to the very essence of what we're exploring together today. The dreaming mind, your dreaming mind, can dip into your past, your present, and yes, even into your future every single night. It's your inner healer, your inner oracle, your personal guide to deeper self-awareness and potential. And this week's episode is especially close to my timeless heart. Joining me today is someone who has not only transformed the way I think about dreaming and consciousness, but who has also become a dear friend. She's a neuroscientist, a trailblazer in the science of time, an IONS fellow, a scientist consulted for the smash hit podcast Telepathy Tapes, and so much more. And she's also my brilliant co-author of The Premonition Code. Please welcome the extraordinary Dr. Julia Mossbridge. Julia's groundbreaking research in the field of presentiment, now that's the ability of the mind and the body to seemingly feel or know the future before it happens, has challenged the boundaries of traditional neuroscience and opened up powerful new ways to understand consciousness. She is a scientist with the soul of a visionary. Her research into precognition, time-traveling dreams, and the deep connection between unconditional love and intuition has inspired thousands, and certainly it continues to inspire me every single day. Now, if you're listening live and have questions for Julia, we'd love to hear from you. Just email them to me directly or click the Zoom link on the Healing Power of Your Dreams page on UK Health Radio website. Just be sure, if you do join that Zoom, not to have the radio playing in the background at the same time. Otherwise, we get an echo. We'll be taking your questions and your stories from about halfway through the show. But first, let's open the door wide to wonder as we welcome the one and only Dr. Julia Mossbridge. Yay!
Wow, what a wonderful introduction, Teresa. I'm so glad to be here. This is exciting.
It is exciting. I'm always so excited to talk to you, Julia, because always when we talk, I learn something new. And I'm so excited to introduce you to listeners of UK Radio, Health Radio, who perhaps aren't familiar with your work, but they will be by the end of this show. Now, let's just jump right in with your work on presentiment. Now,
sure.
Fascinating. Can you just explain in a few simple terms for our listeners what presentiment is and what your research, why your research is so groundbreaking in that area?
Well, the first one is easier. The second one is harder. That, you know, presentiment is exactly what you said. It's your body's capacity and your body and your mind's capacity to predict future events that most people think should not be predictable based on your five senses. And so, for example, you can test presentiment if you're a scientist and you have access to some lab equipment. You can test presentiment by putting a little detector on someone's finger and figuring out how much they're sweating, and then seeing if they're sweating more before they're going to be shown a picture of a bear coming at them, which might be scary, versus seeing a picture of a sunset, which would just be kind of pretty, but not scary. And so if you do that enough and you compare those, you'll find that on average, people are sweating more before they see a picture of a bear than before they see a picture of a sunset, even though those things are random and they're randomly selected. And so what that tells us is that your body has somewhat of a memory of the future, almost like a memory of the past, except for into the future. And people know this, people have experienced this. But now it's been proven scientifically. And the only reason that I think I could say that I have had any impact on this field is I took a look at all the studies that scientists had done since 1978. And in 2012, I just said, with a team, Jessica and Patrizia Trasoldi, with a team, I said, let's just analyze these statistically and put it out there. The results out there, and it's called a meta-analysis, and it shows that indeed people continually get this result where your body is preparing for the future, even though you don't know it's happening.
Wow. And of course, when we worked together on the premonition code, we extended that to when you're sleeping. So if the body can sense the future ahead of time when you're awake, surely it can do so more vividly in the dream state where you get rid of messy logic and reason and all the material stuff. What
Well,
are your thoughts
yeah.
on that one?
People actually experience that consciously much more than presentiment. Presentiment is kind of going on all the time, but most people are not aware of it. Whereas the first story that most people have about realizing that they have this capacity to get information about the future is usually a dream. So something like 30 to 50% of people have had a very striking precognitive dream. It's called precognition, a precognitive dream, where they're able to describe something in detail that happens within a couple days or a week. And it's very powerful. And if you've never had one, the moment you have one and you realize, holy cow, I couldn't have known that, my neighbor would have put the red chair out on the and then yelled across the street to me. And like those things are so specific. I wouldn't have known that. There's no way I could have known that. When you realize that, that's when you start to go, maybe there's something to this. But it almost takes every person to have that experience before people. And it's true for scientists too. You ask scientists, you say to a group of scientists, in fact, Jessica Utz, my colleague, did this to the American Statistical Association when she was the president of it in 2016. She says to a room of statisticians, what would you need to really believe that precognition was real? Because I've shown it statistically. And the answer was they need a clear personal experience. So, as soon as you take someone who's skeptical about this and they have a clear personal experience about it, they switch. And it's sort of like if you didn't believe that trees existed and then you ended up living in a forest, and then you're like, okay, I have to admit that these trees are real. It's like that. It's really night and day.
As I said, you spent your life researching presentiment, the science of consciousness and time. But it's only been recently, really, that you've gone so mainstream. You were recently on Dr. Mayim Bialik's amazing podcast. Can you talk about that and the reaction to, because you were talking about what you're talking here, about our ability to sense the future in our body, both awake and more so in the dreaming state. How did it feel actually finally? This is what you've wanted, Julia, to share this visionary message that you've got. And there it was. You're on this podcast with millions of people listening. How was that?
Powerful. It's gonna sound silly and maybe trite, but I always knew that that would happen.
You did. When we worked together 8 years ago, you were saying this is going to happen. This, you had this knowing, and at the time you tried to get the message out, it was more people more skeptical, maybe.
And that's and but I've been like that since I was a kid, where that I'm glad you used that word knowing. That's the feeling. It's like I understand that there's no way in the world that this could seem possible right now. That's okay. But I have this knowing, and it's not even like any of the five senses. It's like it's just an it's like if you're in the Plato's cave and you were just able to look behind you and see what was going on. It's like that kind of knowing. It's this interior knowing. And so I had this knowing of like, okay, that's how it is now, and then it'll be different in the future. And my whole life has been kind of like that. My mother, I had friends over at my mom's house recently when I was visiting her in Chicago. And she said, well, so what is it like working with Julia? Because they were folks that I work with on various projects. And it was a telepathy tapes. That's right. It was one of the telepathy tapes projects. And one of
Well,
them
just
said,
stop there for people with the telepathy tapes. You were consulted for that, weren't you? That massive.
oh, I was. And then I started realizing what I really wanted to do. Like, I still work with them and I still try to help. It's an amazing show. There's not much I can do to help, but point them towards resources that are useful. But then I started realizing, no, I want to do this research with non-speaking autistic people. And that's a powerful, I mean, it's just in my soul, this feeling of, wow, I could act my research and parapsychology or presentiment and precognition and extraordinary human capacities could actually help people who society has ignored or said, oh, you're stupid, or maybe, you know, you're not right, there's something wrong with you, and we're just not going to give you any resources to try to to try to have a better life. That's what our society has done to these non-speakers. And what Kai and her team has done with the telepathy tapes is champion their cause and say, actually, not only are these many of these folks, you know, very interesting thinkers, regardless of their extraordinary capacities, some of them have these extraordinary capacities of telepathy, mediumship, precognition, clairvoyance. And I had the opportunity to work with some of them, and I'm still working with them. We're doing formal trials on telepathy. It's really powerful and exciting. But the most exciting piece of it to me is this connection. They're all about connection. They're all about there's very there's a very compassionate, loving connection between these students. And they're not sitting in the classroom together. They're coming separately to their teacher. They're, at least the ones I've been working with, don't know each other outside of that, but they know each other on some kind of other plane. They're able to connect with each other in some kind of other way, apparently. And I think it has a lot to teach us about the future of where we're going. People who are speakers who spend so much time differentiating ourselves from each other and trying to set up these boundaries and c competing. I think the world is going to change. I mean,
Well, it is changing. You knocked Joe Rogan off the top spot, the telepathy. I
Yeah,
mean,
Kai, it's unbelievable. Kai, that was very surprised by that. And
no, it's because people want to hear about this. Do you think that research, as you were talking, could also apply to people suffering from dementia, non-speakers, and people with, do you think that research could also apply?
absolutely. So actually, one of the things that made me want to get involved is my stepmom has dementia. She's also lost a lot of her ability to speak as a result. And so I ended up asking her when I was in Chicago to see if she'd be willing to do a few experiments. She has always been very psychic, so I knew that her work as a psychoanalyst. When I asked her what her trick was as a psychoanalyst to help heal people, she said, oh, I listened to them. And then I would connect underneath the ground. And I was like, yeah, so there you go. It's connection and listening, not a lot of speaking. But I asked some of the folks when I was in Chicago who work on the telepathy tapes to do some of their tricks with her. So, like a speech language pathologist who works with non-speaking autistic kids, she did some of her tricks with Karen, my stepmom, and that absolutely helped her. Her name is Maria Welch, and then there's Jeffrey Tarrant who does neurostimulation. He did some of his neurostimulation tricks with my stepmom's brain. I hope she didn't mind being as a guinea pig. I don't think so. She spoke better and was more present and more connected as a result just of a 5-minute neurostimulation trick that he did. And so I think that this is just the beginning of developing a whole bunch of technology modalities and processes that are going to support people with dementia, people who have, you know, ALS, MS, autism, ADHD, the neurodiverse world is wide, and I think it's most of us.
Yes.
This idea of neurotypicality, this idea that there's people who are neurotypical and like we're supposed to want to be like them. I actually don't think anyone neurotypical exists. I really, I have never met a neurotypical person.
That's because we're all at heart psychic, but some of us are further down the road of believing in that than others, because I think self-belief and being psychic. How do you define being psychic? And of course, when you fall asleep and dream, you're at your most psychic, aren't you? Because you are pure intuition in that state of consciousness. But how do you define, first of all, being psychic and then a precognitive dream?
Well, okay, so like you, I think the way the brain functions is in a what we would call psychic way. In other words, I don't think there's an exception to the rule of everyone being psychic. Many people are not aware of it or think that it's, I don't believe it. But I think the brain works by being sort of stimulated or interacting with consciousness as information. So something that's non-material. So that's a psychic process of anything that's material, the brain, interacting almost like with a radio wave of consciousness. So already we're all psychic. Now, in terms of our capacities, unfortunately, I really do think that psychic ability, in terms of a capacity that's developed in us that we're aware of, is very much like music. The distribution of the population is very much like musical ability. So some people are really, really good and they're born to be, really have a good ear. And some people can't hum a tune. And then there are most people in the middle. The difference is that with psychic abilities, if you're a kid and you start to hum a tune, everyone's like, great, you could hum a tune or sing a song or play the piano. They might encourage you if you're really good. But with psychic abilities, if you say, oh, Auntie Susan, I dreamt that you were gonna spill all your groceries on the floor, and now you just spilled all your groceries on the floor. They just say, "Oh, shush!" There's a lot of discounting. There's a lot of minimization. There's a lot of stigma. There could be some taboo attached. So you can learn, even if you're gifted at it, to suppress that. And the way that that can come out now is in dreams. So one of the great things, as you know, this dream expert about dreams, is that they allow these pieces of ourselves that don't often come out during the day to say hello, to come out at night. And this is a like a just incredible gift of the universe that we have, or God, or evolution, however you think about it. This is a gift that allows us to really know ourselves better, right? And so precognitive dream is just an example of one of the many kinds of little gifts you can get. And it's a actual experience, a clear experience with at least two, I would like to say three details about a future event that you didn't cause, and that isn't just based on like guessing from the environment. So, like, what I mean by it's not precognitive to go ahead and say, I dreamed I had watermelon and then eat a watermelon because you could cause that. And it's not precognitive to say, I dreamed it would rain, but you were actually hearing raindrops at night. So, but it is precognitive to figure out that, for instance, someone might win the lottery the next day and they do, right? Because you can't cause that and you didn't figure that out from the environment. So it's a pretty special gift and I can't wait to talk more about it.
Yeah, because I believe we've got to go to a break now, which is frustrating because there's so much I want to ask you. So hang in there if you're listening. So much more about the future to talk to with Dr. Julia Mossbridge.
Okay, Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Right, we're back with Dr. Julia Mossbridge, the Time Lady, as I love to call her. Julia, you said that the future may already exist in some way. Can you explain what that means from a, you know, from a scientific standpoint, but also what listeners of UK Health Radio can understand from that, and how can it benefit their daily lives knowing that?
I like to say that the future and the past are folded into the present. So it's like they're included in every moment. They're included. In fact, there's something like the more you are in the present moment, the more you can be in touch with the sort of ripples that go out in time and in both directions of time. So if you drop a stone into like a flat surface on water, you can see the ripples come out. And the way we've been taught to think about time, we only look at half those ripples. We say, oh, look, there's ripples coming out right there. And we're supposed to ignore the ripples to the left that go into the past. And it's just a matter of saying, well, maybe there are ripples that are going into the past. And that idea is, you know, kind of an old idea, actually. So it was based on Einstein's work. And Minkowski created it, is another, was a mathematician who came along and said, wait a minute, if Einstein's relativity is true, what it means is the past and the future kind of always have to be present, almost like a landscape of time, rather than a line. So if you think of it as a landscape, there's a mountain, there's a person, there's another person, there's a tree, there's things in the landscape, and you're sort of marching across the landscape wherever you are in the moment. Now you're one of the people, now you're at the tree, now you're up the mountain, but those things are there regardless of where your attention is. So it's a little bit of a description of what's the relationship between the human mind that goes in this one direction in time and sort of physical reality, which is continuing the past, present, and future all at once. And when you mend that relationship, what gets me really excited about this in terms of health is that at TILT, at the Institute for Love and Time, we are recognizing
that. You founded, by the way.
Yeah, founded, yes, in 2019, and it's going really wonderfully well. And so that's at loveandtime.org. And what we've discovered is that, well, we haven't really discovered, but what we put to use in technology is that when you connect with your past self, which you have in your mind all the time, and you connect with your future self, which again, you carry in your mind, you know, as an imagination, right? You're carrying that in your mind, and you love yourselves, it makes you stronger in the present. It's like it makes it grows your resilience, it grows your strength, grows your well-being, because it's like you're containing your whole self with love over time. So yeah,
I mean, you've pioneered as well an app, haven't you, where you can talk to your future self?
And yes,
that's, and it's been in prisons, and you've seen how it's healing it has been for people who can do that.
True. Anyone can use it. It's free. And it's non-addictive, kind of like brushing your teeth. You do it once a day.
How does it work? You just record a message.
Yeah. We call it Time Machine. You can find it at timemachine.love. It's on all the platforms. And you record a message. It's like an audio journaling app. And you get a prompt that says, hey, what do you want to say to your old self? Or what does your future self have to say to you? And you can respond to the prompt, or you could do it without a prompt. And then it gives you a little notification 24 hours later. And then you decide when you're going to go back and listen to your message. I have one in there that I did when I just started a new book. And when I was starting the new book, I did a prompt that's okay. So my future self is telling me that this book is really exciting. It's doing well. It was easy to write. And I have yet to listen to that because I want it to be really true. And so but I'm doing that soon because the book will be coming out soon. And I feel like for me, and then also, you know, scientifically, because we actually did a pilot study with 96 people, some of whom were going through drug addiction recovery, some of whom were Native Americans in communities who are dealing with mental health and drug addiction. We have folks, prisons, as you suggested, as you indicated. All of that is focused on bringing in the strength that happens when you really love all of yourself through time. And so it's the simplest things.
So, should we ask listeners right now to send love to their future self, their tomorrow self? Let's keep it more short term. Is that what you're saying? Their tomorrow self is maybe already here, already watching.
I think not even maybe. I mean, so you could do the experiment right now. Like, imagine sometime yesterday when you were having trouble or you were a little doubtful, or maybe you're bored and you're just driving in your car or whatever it was. Just imagine sometime yesterday and just practice sending unconditional love, just complete love. I mean, you've already been through it. Whatever happened already happened. There's nothing that you're gonna, you're not gonna change anything. Just send love. And how does that feel? And I'm telling you, it feels good today to send love to yesterday.
It
And
does.
so,
You feel you've been harsh on yourself. You feel you messed up, or
yeah.
you did. You tried your best. Well done. I'm here for you. I'm the future.
Right.
I'm here for you. For you.
Exactly. And if you keep doing that, then you're going to start to believe that your future self is going to do that.
Oh,
And if
sure.
your future self is doing that, then you can feel that love. And just stop for a moment and just say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to send myself love, let myself feel that right now. That's also really powerful.
It is, and it's been shown with the studies you've done how it boosts self-esteem in people who really need it to be boosted. And we're talking about the power of unconditional love here, compassion. And you've also done a study where you linked it, the more that you have that for yourself, the more intuitive, potentially cognitive you are. And I will extend maybe the more dream recall you have with cognitive themes.
Yes, two studies showing that I created a scale for unconditional love for people to rate their own experience of where they were. And the people who rated themselves as higher unconditional love at that moment, it's not like your whole life, just at that moment, were also significantly better at being accurate about precognizing the future, about predicting the future in a controlled trial. So that happened twice. I believe that that's a real capacity. And I think it's because when you're in a state of unconditional love, the boundaries in time are moving further out. You're including your past self, you're including your future self. It's all in there.
Beautiful. And on the theme of unconditional love, I'm going to come to your song choice this week because it's one that's very special to you. So, would you just talk about this song and what it means so much to you and why you want listeners of UK Health Radio to enjoy it or time travel along with it?
Oh, this is so exciting to do this. Okay, so this song is called "Take My Time." It's by an amazing upcoming artist, Joseph Mossbridge, who happens to be my son, but is in his own right a fantastic musical artist, and his ear has always been phenomenal since he was a kid. But actually, he was a late crawler, and he would sit on my lap a lot and just look at the world and listen. But when he first started to crawl, he crawled off my lap. And he crawled toward the cabinet and opened the cabinet and got out this little radio toy that he had and pressed play. And then I realized the reason he was doing that was because an ice cream truck was going by and it was playing the same song that his little radio played. And he was saying, like, that's the same song. And he was 10 months old and he was saying, like, this is important enough for me to crawl off your lap and tell you that this is the same song. So I knew then that he was going to have a relationship with sound and with music that was profound. And the song is about his mind and how it works. And he's a neurodiverse individual himself. He was dyslexic, had a hard time learning to read, and then taught himself to read. And when he was 10 or 11, almost immediately, like overnight somehow. So I don't know how his brain worked, but it's pretty interesting. And that's what the song is about. It's about the dream mind of a person who thinks differently.
Strolling through the atmosphere, see the sunrise. Listen to these sounds. This is my mind. Blinding colors fly around. Die, walking through the outer space. This is my time. Floating in the air, floating, floating in the air. Whoa, floating in the air, floating in the air. Whoa, sitting in space. Days go by, lying on a star. Take my time, sitting in space. Days go
more. Take my time, take my time. Feel free, feel fresh like a cowboy. Just chilling in space, this is my joy. Right side up, upside down, what do I care? Met the sun, it was fun. I am
floating in the air, floating, floating in the air, whoa. Floating in the air, floating in the air, whoa.
Spinning in space, days go by. Lying on a star, take my time. Sitting in space, days go by. Lying on a star, take my time, take my time, take my time, take my, oh, take my, oh, take my time, take my time, take my time, take my, oh, take my, oh, take my time.
Thank you, Julia, for that. And thank you, Joseph. Of course, your son was going to be a musician, because I always think music and precognition and intuition, they just go together so well, because you lose sense of time. So thank you for that. And I believe we've got someone really lovely joining us. I do know you, I believe, Jess. I've heard of you. Anyway, hello, welcome to the show. This is Jess Baker, a psychologist who I believe coined the term the super helper syndrome. And I know that she's very engaged with your research, Julia, and eager to talk to you. So I may well just sit back now and let you genius minds have a chat.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. Teresa, when I saw your post with Julia, I was so excited. I told you I booked it into my diary, so I'm not missing this one. And I'm not that well-versed. I wish I was well-versed. I think I need a whole year to catch up on all of the fabulous work you've done, Julia. I wish I was more well-versed in it. But it did get me thinking about, I mean, obviously, I'm one of these people that wants to just jump in and say, oh, I've had so many precognition examples. Can I share one with you? So I don't know if you're interested in hearing one or two of those before I ask any questions.
Just ask away. Julia's here.
Yeah. Yes, lovely. I'm so glad to meet you. I think the super help, it's called the super helper syndrome. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I just keep thinking that name just explains itself. Like, as soon as you hear it, you go, yep. Right.
That was something that came to me in a dream, actually. So, you know, it's all interlinked. It's fascinating. I want to ask so many questions. I'll try and be very quick, though. Julia, you mentioned then something I hadn't heard you say before when you was talking about your mother-in-law who's experiencing dementia, you know, and kind of following on the work that you've been doing with non-speaking autistic people. And it was fascinating to hear how there was something, I think, quote unquote, and I might get this wrong, so forgive me, something like, I used to listen. That's right. She was a psychotherapist, right? And then she used to say, but I used to listen to them and then plus connect underneath the ground.
Yes. She always talked about that. And she said that that's what Freud, I mean, she was trained as a psychoanalyst, so in the Freudian tradition. And she said that's what Freud was talking about, but you know, he didn't say too much out loud. But when you actually read his work, he talks about how, and Jung does too, there's a like a physical cord or connection with the unconscious that the therapist or the analyst creates, that is a big part of the healing. It's not just this head stuff. And so it makes sense why, you know, we want it to be like, people are like algorithms, people are like machines. If we just say the right words, that they're going to get healed. But and the right words do matter, right? And the right cognition matters, but it's this connection that's so healing.
Yeah. I call that secondary empathy. I don't know if it's the same thing, but I would love to to know whether there's any further research that will
What's
continue
secondary?
that
What's sec
field.
how do you d tell us
Well,
about secondary empathy?
it's not very scientific, but it's just a phrase to use to explain how I am or have been, and I've seen it in others too, connect with people who aren't in the room, who my clients are talking about, and even not even clients. I've done it in pubs, you know, talking to a random stranger. They've downloaded their life story. My partner on the way home will say, "How did you do that?" And I'll say, "What? Well, firstly, they told you their whole life story. Yeah, nothing new. But secondly, I thought you were going off on a really weird tangent. And by the way, I don't drink, so I wouldn't be kind of just, you know, burbling something with alcohol in my system." But he said, "I thought you were going off on a really strange digression, and you said this thing, but then they responded so well. How did you know that their partner might be experiencing this, or that their mother-in-law might be experiencing that?" And there is this other connection. And I think we're all capable of it, but when you're tuned in so much to one person, it kind of then spreads into the context where they're coming from. And so that instead of empathy as we know it is direct, I can empathize with you as I see you, as I hear you. But if it's secondary empathy, it's kind of almost one step removed. So yeah, it's fascinating.
Yes, I absolutely know what you mean. And I think that people like us, who people tell their life stories to, I think all three of us are like that. Teresa, I know you're like that. I think that there's something almost mechanical. I don't want to say it. It's both spiritual and mechanical. It's like there's a almost a physical process of tuning into like the information behind the information, so that you get all of it's like you get a whole field of information rather than just little bits and pieces of whatever the person says. So whatever the person says is just a little the tip of the iceberg. And Teresa, I know when you're interpreting people's dreams, you're doing this. You're listening to the words they're saying. But you're hearing more than that, and then you're speaking to more than that.
I mean, this is the power of this show and why I'm so excited and grateful to UK Health Radio doing it. Here we are, Jess Baker, wonderful UK psychologist, talking to Dr. Julia Mossbridge, neuroscientist from the States, and you're both on the same forward momentum, mainstreaming this idea that there's more to us than the material and that the invisible world has so much power. But you're both also saying love, love, empathy, compassion. You're both drawn to that in your research in different ways and how to deal with it. And I just adore that. Please carry on with your research. We've almost got to go to break, Jess. Is there any other quick question you want to ask Julia, before we go to the second commercial break?
It might require a longer answer, but I've recently binged watched Foundation, Isaac Asimov's kind of past worlds, future worlds. I can't remember, but basically, time folds, and I was just wanting to understand a bit more. I suppose perhaps same with empathy and compassion in relation to what you were saying just now about, and Teresa, I know you've talked about this too so often, about your future self and sending love to your future self, but also asking your future self to kind of send back love to you. And there's no real question in there, but I just want to know everything you know about
I'm going to pass on Maria because
That
we have to go to commercial break. I'll give you time, Julia, to think about that answer on the other side. Down the road, we'll hear that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back now. Julia, you have that incredible question from Jess to answer. And also, I forgot to flag up right at the beginning that if you're a Dan Brown fan and have read his latest novel, Secret of Secrets, which I actually read overnight, I just couldn't stop. Julia is mentioned in that novel, that blockbuster. So, wow.
Congratulations. Yeah.
You had this knowing that you were going to mainstream telepathy, precognition, precognitive dreaming. It is happening right now, Julia. You need to go and listen to that future self message you recorded. Yeah.
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah. No, I was really stunned. I started hearing from friends I hadn't heard from in like 20 years there.
Like, did you read the books?
Fuck. Ah! But this, the Foundation trilogy. So as a kid, like my favorite thing, this idea of the folding, the enfoldment of time or the folding time is both mathematically beautiful and I think potentially true. And I keep doing this with my hands, and what I'm doing is I'm sort of clapping them together like a book and then opening them like a book so that the heel of my palms are against each other. And if you imagine the heel of the palms where the book spine is, imagine that as the now. So like I put it on my nose and imagine that as the now. Both the past and the future are centered on the now and can touch each other. So things a day in the future and things a day in the past are touching each other. Things a week in the future and things a week in the past are touching each other, etc. And that's always changing as the now changes. And so it's a beautiful sort of visual sculpture of time that I think it's closer to, probably not exactly right, but closer to how time actually works or how events in time actually work and why it matters. Because it's like when something's mathematically beautiful, kind of who cares, except for mathematicians, honestly, because they just get off on all the beauty. But, you know, the reason why we ought to care about that is because we are not trained to see ourselves as those who exist through time. That's really who we are. As humans, we have this capacity to grasp the past and grasp the future and to notice we are existing through all of it. And so we have this special relationship to time. It's like our souls, if you believe in the soul or if you believe in the psyche, which is that sort of psychologized version of the soul, we are those who exist through time and become stronger when we recognize that. And so to me, it's about empowerment and human health and human thriving to recognize that you exist through time, which means that one day, if you're horribly sad, well, that's one day. But if you try to remember that the past and the future are unfolded, you will be happy again. If you've ever been happy in the past, you'll be happy again. If you've ever been sad in the past, you will be sad again. This is the way human life works. And the power of being a human and recognizing that and doing these sort of mental folds with time is to recognize this now is always a special moment. And it is always embraced in this frame of the past and future. And it's all connected to each other in a way that allows us to really celebrate who we are in a strong and empowered place of moving forward. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me visually. Does that make sense on the radio?
You see all these hand movements Julia's doing. It would It would help. I feel quite lightheaded. It's just so expansive. Do you find that, Jess, these ideas that
Yeah.
you get these
Just
goosebumps? Yeah, that's what I get when I listen.
I hope they're useful.
I think so. And I think even if we might all get it, like dreams, we might all get it on a different level. But it means something to us. It might not all mean the same thing. Like if we were to read the same poem or to look at the same piece of art, it might mean something different to us. But I love that. I loved your as you were clasping. I can imagine putting the palm of your hands together and folding time. And I think from a psychological perspective of working with my clients, then as I've always said, you have felt sad in the past, you might feel sad now, you might feel sad in the future, but it's about how you choose to respond to that and empowering them through that. So yes, the second part of my long-winded question was about the future self and how to communicate, how to best communicate to ourselves now in this state from the future.
Yes.
If that's okay to ask, if there's time.
Is it okay with you, Teresa? I'm
Yeah,
excited.
I've got the emails going crazy. I've got a couple of emails that I want to just do some rapid fire questions to you. But please,
Okay,
that's
real quick.
a question, Jess. And I don't know, Jess, you're coming back in coming months, so we're going to have much more time to unpick this together. But I thank you so much. If you could just sort of succinctly answer Jess's question, that would be.
Yes, I will use no visuals. Is that the thing to do if you want to hear your future self is to plant yourself in the now and bathe yourself in unconditional love from the universe. Imagine that there's a sun above you that is streaming unconditional love right on you now. And just invite that future self to come to you. So you're not going anywhere. You're staying in the here and now. And that future self is coming to you to give you a gift of wisdom from the future. And you're thanking that future self, and that future self goes right back into the future to do their work. That's the way to do it.
Brilliant. Oh, that's lovely. I did it as you
Thank
were talking. Thank you so much. Thank you for
so
your
much.
time. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jess. You're amazing.
That was so interesting. I get lost in time. This is always what happens with Julia. You have no idea. You go into this sort of timeless zone. But let's just start. I'm going to just have to go in where my gut takes me. Alex from Manchester has sent this dream, this message. Julia, admire your work. Do you think AI or brain computer interfaces will one day validate or even replicate precognitive experiences and dreams?
I think you'll have the same problem that you do with someone just telling you their dream. That, in other words, people who are skeptical will say, "Yeah, we believe you had the dream. That's not the problem." And the brain computer interface showed us that you had a dream on a computer monitor. That's not the problem. The problem is, how is it related to the future event? And statistically, was it just a good guess? And so I think you end up having to make a statistical argument. And the truth is, people just need to have the experience to really believe it.
I hope that answers. I'm sure I'll get an email response. But another one. This is from Paula from Edinburgh. Dr. Mossbridge, if presentiment is real, does that mean the future is fixed or can we still change it?
I think it could be either way. I don't think because precognition and sentiment have been validated statistically and people use them somewhat reliably, doesn't mean that we can't change the future. What it does mean is that there might be a flexibility in the future where something is very likely to happen that you could precognize, but that could be a little shaky, right? That could be 90% likely. And then the dreams that you have that aren't precognitive could be about something that didn't happen, that was maybe going to happen, but it got flipped, right? So we pay attention to the ones that predict something that happens and we ignore the ones that don't. But the ones that don't could have been a different timeline or a different future, right? So I don't think you can assume anything about whether the past is, or I'm sorry, the future is predetermined, or the past for that matter, based on precognition being real. I think we just don't know.
I love that analogy you always give about whether you're going to drop a ball or catch it. We did that in the Prem Code. Would you mind just talking through that? Because I always found that very helpful about this idea that the future's fixed, but it's not.
This is like kind of like the Minority Report idea of that ball coming out of the long tubes. But it's like you could dream that, oh, I catch a red ball. And then when it actually happens, you drop the red ball. But what was similar was there was a red ball and there was a question of catching or dropping it. And so you had the right situation. You just had one of the events wrong. And that's a way in which we can say, look, the future is predetermined. There's going to be a red ball situation. You're going to have an opportunity to drop or catch it. What's not predetermined is the dropping or catching.
I just love that metaphor. Thank you. And I think we've got time for a couple more. Sarah from Southampton. I've had several dreams that seem to predict future events. How do I know if they are genuine or just random?
I think it's really important to keep a dream journal and just start to write down. When something happens, write it down, go back to it and read the dream and make sure that you correctly, you're not making up the memory. We can make up memories and say, oh, I dreamt about this. But if you haven't written it down, then you might be fooling yourself. So do that. See how often it happens. And then when you start to notice, and this probably will happen with you because it often happens, when you start to notice that certain details just aren't too specific to have dreamt randomly, then you might start to believe it. And you can test yourself. You can say, my intention is to dream about, the picture that I'll see on YouTube third from the right when the offerings are given to me tomorrow. These kind of things. It's a little tricky, those tests, because they can be influenced by whatever the zeitgeist of humanity is at that moment. But you can also go to the premonition code and use our actual random testing software to help yourself. You can try to dream about the picture you're going to see that's actually truly randomly selected that Teresa and I have created for you, and that's free. That's a tool you can use as well.
Well, it's mainly Dr. Gina Mossbridge. I just provided the excitement and then the, oh my goodness, there,
We
the
all we did write a book
science.
together, Teresa.
We did, but the science, I know, I take my hat off you. Honestly, respect there, Julie. And I've just
Well,
got another Sarah. This is interesting. That's a coincidence. Same name. But she's saying, my dreams are always so swear word boring. I really want to have a precognitive experience or dream. How can I make that happen? No sharing in response.
right, every morning you keep a journal. Everyone needs to do this. You keep a journal by your bed. In the morning, you wake up, and the first thing you do before you do anything else, you might have to go to the bathroom, but then come back really quickly and write down every dream you remember. If you don't remember a dream, say, write down, I don't remember my dreams. Maybe I will later. And then write about other things. So you're never off the hook. You're always writing about something when you wake up, so that you're always giving yourself your time to do that. As you do that, your dreams will, you'll start to discover your dreams are more interesting than you think.
And everyone listening, you're far more interesting than you think. And I hope this very special episode with Dr. Julia Mossbridge has made you believe that. This is in all of us. What she's talking about is in all of us. And I'm going to be a bit selfish here. I'm going to jump in the queue and ask you a question, Julia, just to finish off this episode. What is your vision? You are a visionary. I mean, in ancient times, I think people would have gone to the, you would have been in the temples of Delphi or whatever.
I would have been breathing in some kind of weird gaseous
No.
mixture.
In ancient times, you would have dreamt, wouldn't you? Would have been one of these dreamers that people,
Dreamers, yeah.
incubate a dream and dream about it. But what's your vision for the future of dream science and human consciousness? And where do you think it's all heading?
Oh, okay. I really think dream work, teamwork. I think that we develop AI partners and human partners to dream with, and we start to have integrated dreams across people and across and with use AI to help that integration so that we could actually get a dreaming for the UK, a dreaming for the United States, a dreaming for the entire planet, for the solar system, using AI to integrate all this information. That's what I see. Dream work, teamwork.
Oh wow. And is there anything as we close this episode, I'm going to close with a piece of music I've chosen for you because I feel it's sort of like how I, when I hear it I think of you and your research, Julia. But before that, is there anything that you intuitively feel that listeners of UK Health Radio need to hear from you right now? Just whatever you feel inspired to say. It doesn't have to be dream related, although life is a dream, but I'm biased. Anything
just
you close with.
What comes into mind? Yeah, what an opportunity to be on the show and to say words that might matter in the moment. You are love. You're made of love. If imagine a love particle, imagine that is the essence of who you are. And there's no exception to that. So I don't imagine that I'm talking to anyone special. Just all of us are really no one special, and we're all extremely special in that we're made out of love. There's no distinction. And then that love moves through time to create these beautiful patterns. And that's what we're noticing in our lives and in our dreams are these patterns. And the more we can just say, look at these patterns, look at these patterns, listen to these patterns, feel these patterns, and notice that there is love there, and it creates even more love to do that. That feels powerful.
Wow, Julia, thank you for the gift of your precious time today and for all you are and do. You are an inspiration, and your research shows us that the future is not as far away or as distant as we think, and that unconditional love, intuition and awareness, and of course your dreams, can tune us into it every day and every night, drawing the future closer one dream at a time. If you take just one thing away from today's episode, let it be this: your dreams matter, you matter. Your dreams are intelligent, you are intelligent. Your dreams are alive, you are alive. Your dreams are precognitive, and you are a precognitive being having a human experience. All you need to do is wake up to that fact. And now to the song. The track I've chosen to play out this episode is introspective and beautifully ambient and expansive. It perfectly captures the feeling of slipping through time and space, which echoes Julia's visionary research and writing on consciousness and future sensing. This piece is subtle, elegant, and as you listen, remember the future is always looking back at you in your dreams. Take it away. It's Interstellar, Cornfield Chase, Hans Zimmer.